Morning. First thing I ought to tell you is that this is the last day of the Christmas season. You're accustomed to having Epiphany on Sunday, and then another Sunday following the Feast of the Baptism. But that doesn't happen this year because of the way the calendar falls. What day of the week that Christmas and New Year's fall on makes a difference. Because in the universal calendar, Epiphany is still January the 6th. And countries like ours that celebrated on the Sunday after that, or the Sunday around that, are the exception. Ordinarily, it would be celebrated the Sunday before January 6th. But when Christmas and New Year's fall on Sunday, we wind up, everybody else is celebrating it January the 6th. Right? We have the Sunday, because we have Christmas and New Year's, the next available Sunday is this one. So we take this for the celebration of the Epiphany. But for everybody else, that's the Sunday after the Epiphany, the Feast of the Baptism, and ordinary time begins Monday. So ordinary time begins tomorrow. There is no Feast of the Baptism this year. That means that when you come back next week, this whole place will look incredibly bare. It's amazing how you get used to the elaborate festive decorations. But it will all be coming down. So, if you want to wander around, look at it, take pictures of it, pray with it, meditate in front of it, today is the day. Feel free. The Feast of the Epiphany, the revelation or manifestation, is, as we heard in the introduction, a widely shared feast, East and West, and even bigger in the East than it is in the West. In the East, it's even bigger than Christmas itself. Because it's celebrated as the day when who Jesus is manifested, and especially to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. The breakthrough, the God's plan, which begins with a promise to Abraham and is rooted in the history of the Jewish people, now breaks out to the whole world. And all are to come and recognize the God whom Jesus embodies and preaches. And that's the major point that Matthew is making. But as he tells the story, he also brings in some other things that we less often look at. Because normally this reading is about half this long. We doubled the size of the reading, did the whole of Matthew chapter 2 for you this morning, so that you could hear the rest of the story. Which we don't often hear, or perhaps often consider. Jesus is, in fact, adored by the Magi. But Herod perceives that as a threat and plots to have the child killed. From day one, Jesus is perceived as a threat by the authorities, by the powers that be, to the established order. This is something we should think about. If we are disciples of Jesus, are we perceived as a threat by the established order? If not, why not? In response to that, Joseph is told in a dream, take the child and his mother and flee. And he does. He becomes a refugee in Egypt. Penniless, undocumented, refugee, alien. That's about as far down the social order as you can get. And that's a part of the story that Matthew is telling. It's Matthew's way. Luke tells a very different story in a very different way, but makes the same point. This is Matthew's way of reinforcing what Paul said, quoting that great old hymn that he quotes in Philippians 2. That he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, born in human estate, even unto death on a cross. And just as the overture of the infancy narrative sounds all the themes that will appear later in the opera of the gospel, so that theme is shown here. Jesus empties himself, even to the status of a penniless, homeless, refugee, undocumented alien. Now, when we think about that, I think there are at least two things that ought to come to mind. One doctrinal, one moral. The doctrinal one is about the fullness of the incarnation. When you come up and take a close look at the creche, look at the inscription around the tabernacle. You know, we're really a multilingual church. Our inscriptions are in English, in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. And the inscription there says, "Et verbum caro factum est, et habitavit in nobis." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt in our midst. Really made flesh. Down into the deep and dirty of human existence. Do we appreciate that? Is our Christology able to sustain a Jesus who is fully divine, one with God in the fullness of God's divinity, and fully human? Not just pretending to be human, but really one with us in the fullness of our humanity. That's the doctrinal challenge of today's feast, of the whole Christmas season. The moral challenge of today's feast is, if that's who Jesus is, then who should we be? What should our attitude be to our own humanity, to other people's humanity, to the poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low of humanity? And specifically, there's a note sounded in the gospel today that we might want to take particular note of, because in a few months we'll have occasion to think about it again. Last year, around this time, our legislature passed something called the DREAM Act. DREAM Act says that undocumented refugee aliens, young people, can go to college in Maryland and pay tuition like everybody else. Seems like a fairly reasonable idea. Resident tuition. For resident people whose parents pay the same taxes we pay. But he wasn't born here. She wasn't conceived here. If they were born here, they'd be citizens. They'd qualify for in-state tuition. But because there were three or four or five or six when the parents came to this country, they're undocumented refugee aliens, subject to deportation, but we're unlikely to deport them because we really want them to keep working at low wages, supporting our economy. But we don't want to give them the benefit of the taxes that they're paying, so the kids can't go to college unless they can afford out-of-state tuition rates, which does not make college accessible to people trying to work themselves or their way out of the bottom rungs of poverty. So we passed a law that said they will qualify for in-state tuition. It was promptly petitioned to referendum. It will show up on referendum in November. You and I will be asked to vote on it. In the meantime, it's been suspended. It has no effect. The kids are still having to either not go to school or pay out-of-state tuition. When you are thinking about that in November at Ballantyne, think about this. Jesus himself was undocumented refugee alien. Does that say anything about how we should contemplate an issue like this? The infancy narratives are not only overtures to the gospel, they are, like the gospels to which they are such good overtures, real challenges to how we think about ourselves and how we treat each other. It's not just a time of great joy and great sentiment, although it is both of those things, posh on anybody who says it shouldn't be. But it is also, needs to be, a time of great challenge to accept our own humanity and each other's humanity the way Jesus has accepted our humanity. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.